I'm looking forward to it. Johnson Hall, Saturday, April 12th.
It's a beautiful spot. Have you been there since they renovated it?
I'm not sure I've ever been there. I can't remember. You know, sometimes, though, I say I haven't been places, and then I get there, and people go, this is the third time. So, you know, it tends to pull together a little bit after a while.
Right. Well, it's a beautiful spot. We'll have a nice chair waiting for you there. And the night before that, you'll be in New Hampshire on April 11th at the Capital Center for the Arts in Concord.
Now, there many times, because a lot of times, you know, they come to the Capitol to ask for my ideas of governance. I'm looking forward to it.
That sounds great. Are you bringing spring with you? We've had a long, tough winter. I hope you're bringing warmth, the usual warmth with you.
Well, I still recall from being a kid growing up in Massachusetts that I still remember that little phrase, April showers bring May floods. And, you know, I often have to refer to that mentally in order to, you know what to expect when I get somewhere. I don't think, I hate to say it, Rich, but I don't think it's time to be really sunny and warm yet.
Oh, not yet. Do you have, this because of what I...
Don't blame me. I'm just telling you the little rhyme.
I just wanted to ask if you had, I believe it was referred to as the spring travel itch on your podcast.
Did we refer to a spring travel itch?
Yeah, I think so.
I probably do. I can't remember anymore. I'm excited. Most recently on my cast, I'm encouraging people to get tickets. I'm encouraging listeners to my show, my podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, to get their tickets now, because we've recently, as a podcast, reached out to hamster owners, and we've got a... We have an official podcast hamster now, and we feel that they're courting the hamster owner listenership that is so vast. And so I'm telling my regular listeners, boy, you better get out there and get those tickets, because the hamster people are stoked.
Yeah, they're crazy. So how is air travel these days now that is it Big Balls who's in charge of airline safety now?
Oh my gosh! Can you believe who's the idiot? Sean something? Who's the new Secretary of Transportation?
Oh yeah, Duffy.
Sean Duffy. So when the first, you know, the first horrific accident, the Washington D.C. one, you know, he's put me in coach. He's all excited. It's his first time. He's going to speak from the podium in his new capacity. And he goes on. He goes, this is unacceptable. Wow. Boy, that is a powerful statement, man. Huh? So in the past, we've been fine with airplanes crashing and falling out of the sky. But this is under the new Sean Duffy regime. Air crashes are unacceptable. Why didn't we get him years ago? This is fantastic.
Well, he has the proper credentials to be in the cabinet. He was on Fox News once.
Yes, he has the proper credentials to be in the cabinet because he has huge lips that are attached to Trump's butt. That's why he has the proper credentials. All they had to do to choose the cabinet. They didn't even have to ask Trump. He didn't even have to look at any resumes or interview anybody. They just dusted his butt for prints while he was sleeping.
Just look over your shoulder. That's the guy you want. The guy who was on his knees there.
And then made a list. That's exactly how they did it. Oh my gosh. It is insane, isn't it? You know, I've said this for years. I've probably said it to you. It's worth repeating. Electing Trump is to Americans what beaching themselves is to whales. It just, scientists can't figure it out. Science, that's an old word.
Well, remember that,
Yeah. I read all of but parts of Project 2025. last summer. And I, you know, it was like one of those things where you're looking at something, you're going, Bill, seeing this? Hey, hey, this doesn't look good. But one of the things I read, and at the time, I really can't remember specifically, was this idea of this list of words that weren't going to be able to be used. Which is just, I mean, literally women is one of the words.
Right.
And at first I thought maybe they meant all of us. It may well be that they mean within the government. Either way, it's just horrific. But one of the things was the phrase climate change, which, of course, is the number one threat to everything everywhere. So what I think is, if there's any federal workers listening right now, federal employees, I think you can probably get away with I'm at Clay Ainge J. I don't think they're going to be able to break that code.
Well, speaking of breaking codes and security breaches, now I have somehow never been included on a chat with government insiders discussing national security. But I was wondering, what's your biggest security breach? Have you ever given away some information inadvertently online?
Not so far that I know of, but I'll tell you, if I did and there was colossal evidence of it, I would not stand before a camera and say, "Boy, I didn't do that. I don't know how that happened. He must have, which is the stupidest argument in the world. He must have somehow hacked into our conversation." Meanwhile, they're telling you that it was that was protected enough. Well, if the guy from the Atlantic could hack in, then why couldn't the Houthis or the, you know, why do they have to have names like that? The Houthis, that's, you just feel silly saying it. But yeah, what a stupid argument, you know. But so only the guy from the Atlantic could hack in. It's upside down times. I went out protesting yesterday in Santa Monica, California, walking with a sign that said "Stand up to Trump" on one side, and on the other side it said "Stop the cuts, tax the rich." And I couldn't believe that there were like Trump people yelling at me. Santa Monica, California.
Wow.
Yeah, that might have been some of the rich.
But you never know. We're talking with Paula Poundstone here. I understand that you had a doctor who may or may not be a Trumper.
Yeah. All right. So I go to this pulmonary. I have a chronic cough, and I every few years I try to battle it, not with any success over the years. But so somebody recommended this pulmonary guy. I go to him. The truth is, I do think some of his interventions were helpful and were different than anything I'd ever been told before. So good for him. But this time I go, I wear a hat that has a comma and then the letters L-A on it. That is Kamala. And it's a baseball cap, and I wear it all the time. So he says to me when I go in, he says, you're still wearing your hat. And I said, oh, yeah. And then he goes, so I make this mistake of assuming everyone thinks that what I think, which is a big mistake. Yeah, and it gets me in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I think is so logical. But anyway, so he says, well, you told me what the hat meant the last time you were here. And I said, oh, yeah. And then I said, you know, the good thing about the hat is most Trumpers can't figure it out. And I realized that was probably a bad thing to say. I wasn't really including him in that group intentionally anyways. But then we end up having this conversation, which is the sort of thing that you would really never do in a physician's office. But we did. And he said to me, because I don't normally talk politics. And but I guess what happened, too, it was after that I said to him, I said, do you know, because I was thinking, well, he's a doctor. He might have some insight here. I go, are they going to cut Medicaid and Social Security? And he got really upset. And he said, they're not going to cut those. I said, what makes you say that? Where are you getting that from? And he said, because they said so. And that's when I realized I was in trouble. And we had a few more exchanges. Nothing hostile, by the way. There was nothing hostile. But here's the upsetting part of the story. So he writes down a prescription for a pill. He doesn't. The only thing he says to me about it is, I'm giving you a new prescription. I said, fine. He didn't talk to me about it. He didn't explain anything about it. I take it to the pharmacy. Somebody else picks it up for me. And somehow along the way, I don't get the warnings about the, you know, I don't get the instructions about the pill other than take it. So I stupidly took one. And then I stumbled on the instructions and the warning. And I swear to you, I'm not making this up. The warnings are, warning, can cause severe mental health reaction. Nurse should watch patient. I was so horrified. I've never seen a warning like that, first of all. And I've certainly seen plenty of medications. Never seen a warning like that. I do not have a nurse. And I think he usually treats one of the rich guys from Perry Mason. They're always in the bed dying. But anyways, I truly was horrified. So far, I've not, unless I see Maude now, I haven't had a mental health reaction.
You still hopped up on the goofballs?
Oh my gosh. That's what the guy put me on, goofballs. I'm hopped up on goofballs right now. I have asked my podcasting partners to keep a close eye on me. That's the nearest thing to a nurse that I have, really.
I thought, you know, Adam would that for you, right?
Yeah, I've asked Adam to wear one of those nursing caps that they used to wear. Remember that?
Do you get one of those little
stupid nursing caps?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you need one of those little buttons, though, that I've fallen and I can't get up buttons.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. They're the button that you push to give you something to do while the nurse isn't coming in the hospital.
Right. And it makes your lights go on and off, too,
distraction.
I think.
Yeah, makes a lot of beep. You know, a couple of times my kids were in the hospital, various horrific things, and it's a little bit disconcerting when there's a beeping going on the machines, right? And you're like, uh-oh, I know what that means. Mm-hmm. It's beeping. And then eventually the nurse comes in, and she walks over the machine and thops it with her finger.
Wow.
I guess that's good. I always, in my audience, I always ask, you know, I'll ask people what they do for a living. When people tell me they're a nurse, I cannot help ask. I go, let me ask you something. The thing where you thop the machine with your finger, that has to have been passed down nurse to nurse. There's no way they teach that in nursing school. And there's no way that the maker of the machine does an in-service where they go, look, you know, these things break down pretty regularly. Here, you just thop it like this. So this has to be something that one nurse told another nurse, you know, while on duty. But it is time honored. I don't think anybody's ever been to a hospital where they don't thop the machine.
No. By the way, I listened to Ethics Palooza, and I want you to know, I taught history in public schools for 30 years, and I never once assigned a word search.
Oh, what year did you stop?
Just a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow. Because my daughter had word search.
I heard that. That's awful. What a terrible assignment.
It is awful. And I was trying to help her with it. And because it was late, you know, so it's helping her with it. And one of the phrases was Sherman's March. And she had no idea what Sherman's March was. And I'm like, okay, this is useless, which is when I was just, and she was a very good student, but I was like, okay, forget it. You don't have to do this stupid thing. You know what it was too? And it was AP history, which even the teacher confessed to the parents was just impossible. AP history has this giant book, a textbook. And you know, to their credit, it's lots and lots of information, but it would have to be taught by a rapper. It would have, you would have to talk so fast. That's actually not a bad idea. You would have to talk so fast to get through everything in that book. And then of course, what about the part where you have the discussion? And where you go, well, you know, here's what the other side was thinking, or, you know, is there another approach, or would you do if it was now?
You're not going to have to worry about any of that when we get the new Project 2025 authorized history books that will be essentially... white people came to America, tamed the red horde, and made life safe for rich white folks. End of history.
You know what? It may even say that Trump did it.
Well, I think he might have.
Because they are playing fast and loose. Okay, I forget what the position that this guy is filling, but it's some sort of military. It's something close to the Joint Chief position. There's a guy that Trump has described before where he says that he met the guy said to Trump, he said, I'll kill for you, sir. Yeah. I'll kill for you. And he says, I love you. And then he puts on
the MAGA hat.
A MAGA hat.
Yeah, that's the guy he's nominated for chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
Right. Okay. So the guy's having the hearings, right? And one of the senators asks him, did you put on a MAGA hat? And he says, no, I did not. And he went to the trouble of covering for Trump by saying he might be thinking of someone else.
Oh, my God.
Well, thank you. Well, we all had that escape hat.
The guy's name is Dan Kane, and his nickname is Raisin.
Oh,
and apparently that's Raisin why Kane. Trump loves him, is because he loves the nickname Raisin Kane.
Well, he liked Mad Dog Mattis.
Yep,
that's exactly why he got Mattis as well. I wish that Raisin Kane would have the nerve that Mattis had, you know, at some point. Should I say that Mattis had eventually?
Yeah, he came to it slowly, but...
Yeah. Yeah, nonetheless, you know, I'll tell you the thing about history. I feel bad for kids studying history now because it's so much longer than when we were kids. You think about that. Like on my podcast for a while, I used to do this thing. Sorry, I was rinsing my hand. I used to do this thing where I had a vocabulary song. because I always wish to expand my vocabulary, and I virtually never can. I just can't remember things even if I look them up. So I thought, well, if I put it into a song, it'll help, and we'll do it weekly. And my initial idea was that every week I added a word to the song. Now, what I ended up doing was every week I added a word to the song, but I took one off as well. So a word would be on the vocabulary song for four episodes, and it would sort of move down the ranks. But my original plan was to just add a word every show and have this extremely long vocabulary song. And I feel like that's sort of, you know, that's history after all. All these things just keep getting added, which is why my daughter had such a huge AP history book, because it's not like they, in the past, it's not like they just took stuff out. But now they will. Now they're doing it on 6-page cardboard books for high schoolers.
Paula Poundstone coming to New England for a slew of shows. April 11th in Concord, New Hampshire, Capital Center for the Arts at Johnson Hall in Gardner in Maine, April 12th. Also Hartford, Connecticut, Infinity Hall, April 26th. The beautiful Wilbur in Boston, May 2nd. The Latches Theater in Brattleboro, Vermont on May 3rd. Go to the website, PaulaPoundstone.com for more information. Of course, listen to the podcast. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. Paula, thank you so much, as always.
Thank you, Rich. It was really fun talking with you. Stay strong. Get out there and march.
Fight the fight. We'll see you soon.
All right. Take care.